expect it. And as I shared about that dream, which was kind of neat, how God works. God can give you a name that can awaken you to different things. He can give you understanding of a journey that he may put you on that you don't understand. And this afternoon, as I was crying out to the Lord, there was a chapter in a book that kept bouncing in. And so I want to take you to Genesis chapter 39. And I know we're doing things differently, but that's life. Life with its challenges. Sometimes we expect certain things in a certain way, and God has an opportunity tonight to just jump out of the box, I pray, and give you insight to maybe something that you didn't see before. The story of this man that's in Genesis 39 is really about Joseph and his chosen position from God's point of view. Now, many of you may have not understood why God put you where he did, how he orchestrated your background, your family, your circumstances, and you may not comprehend it even yet. But I've learned through my own life that what God did with me was to take me out of my house where I was born and choose a different set of parents. And I never really felt that it was a privilege. I always thought it was a problem. Anybody relate? If you look at your circumstances as a problem, you're going to be focused on the wrong thing, because with God, there's no accidents. And, okay, we're going to go somewhere I didn't expect to go. The lady that brought me up passed away a few months ago. And my brother, who I spoke earlier, down in Florida right now with his wife, Nicole. And they gave me a card. Of course, it's written in French. If I read it all in French, you're going to be in trouble. But basically, it says the passing, in English, it says the passing of your loved one has saddened the hearts of many, and we share in the loss of the one so dear, etc. Thinking of you, etc. But in French, she wrote, and I'll try to give you this as best I can. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to give you a concept of where they were coming from. She wrote down, we comprehend the sentiments that are now in front of you. And just remember that this lady that has just passed, you had for 70 years. But the one you had, who gave you birth, had to make a very difficult decision in the time when you were very young. And she did according to God's plan rather than her own. That's the reason why today we're writing and thanking God for Emilia, because she brought you up and she brought you on a road that was narrow and not always understood. As a result of all this, she moved you out of a country along with her husband, and it was all God's plan. Today we can thank God for having you being brought into our lives and introduce us to the Lord and to His Holy Spirit. As evidence of this, all our children know the Lord, and even our grandchildren. Recognize this as your brother saying thank you and our love to you. When I read the card, when I first got it, I couldn't read it. I just had to put it away because I couldn't digest it. All I kept was getting emotional. You know what happens when you get emotional? You lose it. Mom's been gone since July, so obviously my heart is more healed than it was. That's probably the best way I can say it. When my real mom passed away, I wasn't even able to attend the funeral because of the time slot, and she got ill. And I always knew she was my mom. Now, don't underestimate the reality. I always knew. If you look back at Genesis 37, you'd find that Joseph was put into a basket and put on a river.
Moses.
Moses. Put on a river and given away. And let God, I got the wrong person. Given away. It's not Genesis 37 either. It's earlier than that. Later than that, sorry.
39 but the, you said before.
Yeah, 39 is where we're going to go. But I'm just trying to connect dots here that don't make sense until you look at where history took us. Where God would take a person that was designed to have a commission from God to do a certain work that you can't understand. And so when you look at them as a model, you can see sometimes how God has used you or is using you, because He's not done yet. He's not done with any of us. Got it? Not done yet. So the book about you isn't finished writing yet. It was written in the heavens, but adjustments are made. A few months after I was born, the decisions were made to give me away before I was born, actually. And the reason I talked about the basket is because that's what they put me in. They put me in a laundry basket, and they tried to give me away to another one of my brothers, and his wife wouldn't take her into the basket. This happened three times. On the third time, they gave up. Everything is established in two or three witnesses. They had, how many know, in when you have 20 kids, there's some that are pets and some that are outcasts. Well, they were the pet of the family, and the pet and his wife didn't take the job of bringing me up. They went out and adopted three other boys. And that's another story in itself. But the bottom line that I'm trying to give to you is we all have a calling and a way of recognizing that God is on the job in our lives, every one of us. There's no exception. If you look at Joseph, taken away from his family, that was true for Moses and it was true also for Joseph. Both of them were brought up in a different atmosphere. For me, I can remember my first long conversation with my brother, the one that sent me the card. We were both over 30 years old when we first got to communicate as brothers. We never really had a relationship. Whenever I would go to visit where he was brought up, which was the paternal home, he always looked at me as a spoiled brat. So, by the time I was 16, I had my driver's license. He was 18 months older than me, and he could not drive until he was 21. And he had to walk to town to get his own license because he wasn't the pet of the family. There was another pet. How many know there are pets in every family? Uh-huh. Known or unknown, there are pets. God's plan, yes. Creates jealousy, yes. When I would come to visit from the time I was 16, I always had a beautiful car and beautiful clothes, and my brother had nothing. So he felt like the son that got left out, if that makes sense. But God would so provide a turnaround after he had his four children, we got to know each other. And after he spent a week at our house for the first time, we got to know that we were not each other's enemies. I can't say we prayed together that first time, because my knowledge of God was a very private one at that time. But the next level came after I got filled with the Holy Ghost. Something had happened inside of us, both my wife and I. And my brother and his wife were having some difficulties, and they ended up calling us. And we each drove 2 hours and met in the middle of Vermont and spent a day and a half in the middle of Vermont. And they accepted the Lord and were born again at that time. And from that time forward, got to know the Lord. Now, I know it was after 77. I don't remember the year. They probably would remember, but I don't. But the bottom line is, the byproduct of that was that one by one, the girls, he had four girls, got to know the Lord. I had the privilege of baptizing the youngest one at Grace Church of Christ. Why am I saying all this? To show you that the Lord was with me every step of the way. He was with me before I was born. He was with me in the midst of every test. I want you to go to Genesis 39. Verse 1. Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. Verse 2 is very important. You remember now, Joseph is a slave. He's in a foreign land. He probably has very little, except maybe a loincloth. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered. And he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Now you got to remember, Potiphar is what? Is he a Christian? Does he know God? He knows about a lot of gods, but not one of them is a real God. Why is it that God's word says that the Lord was with Joseph and that he prospered? Did he look like he was prospering as a slave without a thing to his name? Yet, when he was living in mom and dad's house, well, actually dad's house, mom was already gone with the Lord. She was removed. The bottom line is, you would not call anybody in those circumstances prosperous, would you? Would you say the Lord is with him in that space? If you would have asked me when I was 6, 7 years old, actually 7 and 8, when we were moved out of the country where I was born, and I couldn't talk a word of English, and I had to learn to get re-educated, because I had been to school in Canada 2 years, so I knew what was going on, and spent the better part of a year being punished in a closet because I couldn't understand the language. I understand how Joseph felt. I didn't feel prosperous at all. I didn't have an emotion of prosperity in any part of my life at that time. I was 8 years old. 9 years old when I started school here. Just barely. Started at 8, but But the bottom line I'm trying to give you is this. Just because you don't feel prosperous, it's because you don't realize that God is with you in that hardship. You think that He's left you, and you think and you believe that you are everything but an instrument of God. Have I got any relatives here? Yet God's word says that He was prosperous, and that a total Gentile, if you wish, this owner said, his master, verse 3, saw that the Lord was with him. How did he see that the Lord was with him? What was the evidence? Everything this man touched. Everything he touched prospered. Amen? Verse 3 again, his master saw the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did. The Lord gave him success. Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household. He entrusted to his care everything he owned. Why? There's no logic there. From the time he put him in charge of his household and to all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessings of the Lord was on everything. Close your eyes. Say, Lord, it's time that I get a heads up here. Everything I touch gets blessed and prospered. It becomes holy when I'm around. The house where I live is holy. The place where I work is blessed. Because of me. Because God and His Holy Spirit is fully alive in me. Now, is there a test that comes? Yes. And I don't want to go into the test. But I want you to know, he passed the test. Amen? I could probably say Jezebel had a party. And that probably would be as best I can describe the next few verses. But I will go to verse 19. When his master heard the story his wife told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me," he burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in prison, verse 21, put a circle around it, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison. How do you like the logic? Would you put your student or child in prison and bless him in a prison situation? Would you do it? I wouldn't. I would try to give my kid the best that I could. But what better place to learn discernment of men than in prison? You would find every deceptive type of personality in a prison situation, wouldn't you? God was with you when you felt you were in prison. God was with me when I was in the closet. That's where they put me because couldn't understand the language. God prospered me. And at the end of June, I was able to go into third grade instead of redoing first and second. What am I saying? God prospered me. God was with me in the closet, playing with the toys. What am I saying? When I was 11, I got sick in September. I had a new type of pneumonia. They couldn't figure out what was wrong. By the following Easter, they had put me in the hospital because it wasn't getting any better. I was down to skin and bones and could not attend anything, couldn't do anything. And so I wasn't able to go back to school till the following fall. That's when I was starting the fourth grade. My dad and my mom had moved to a new city. Dad had a new job. And so I started my fourth grade. I was turning 12. Fifth grade came the following year. I was getting a little stronger. I wasn't allowed to go into any public buildings for a long, long time because of the weakened body that I had. The only thing that grew on me was bones. I didn't have much meat on me. I was a sick puppy for almost 2 years. That was another form of prison. Was God with me? Absolutely. By the time I graduated from the sixth grade, I was entering the seventh grade, and first or second day of school, the sister superior said to me, could you have your mom and dad come and talk to me tonight? And I thought, oh my God. We're going from one level of prison to a new level of prison. But to my surprise, we went after supper. We got to the convent and the sister said, well, we're going to put your son in the eighth grade on condition. If his marks stay above 80 for the first semester, we will consider letting him skip the seventh grade because his marks are good enough from sixth grade. So he should be able to handle, if he needs the seventh grade work, to just go back to get it a little bit. But because of his age and because of the past history. So God gave favor to me. And I did stay above the 80 for the first semester. And when I graduated in June, I had a 96 point average. God gave favor. God gave favor. He was with me. Today I can declare it. At that time, I didn't see it. Put me in high school. I did okay. Many, many things God did with me that are similar to what I see in the Word of God. Giving me a ray of hope that He was with me every step of those difficult seasons. When we moved to Massachusetts, I thought it was the biggest pain that my dad could actually bring upon me. Until I met my wife. Praise God, it didn't take too long. I came back to life. Why? Because God had a plan. He was prospering me in a new place that I didn't particularly like. Massachusetts was not what my desires were at all. If you would have said to me, where would you prefer to stay? I would have said, right where we are, where my friends are. Because at 16, that's what you prefer. Anybody can relate? Why is God pushing your buttons today with this? I'm trying to make you aware that your circumstances that you're in right now may not look like you're blessed. may not look or feel that God is with you.
But He is.
But He is. And you know, if you listen to your emotions, you might cancel the blessing He's preparing for you.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
You see, I would have never chosen to come to the United States at 8 years old. My parents had some difficult spaces they went through. They went through a bankruptcy. All my stuff was sold at auction. I can remember when my dog and my sled were sold. My toys were sold because we couldn't bring them to the States. We didn't have any place to go. And you know, those memories are foggy now. But they're not forgotten. But they are foggy. Why am I saying this to you? Because I'm trying to give you a heads up as to what God is doing right now. If I was living in the Middle East, I would not be happy about all the turmoil that's going on the news. May I suggest you shut it off? Otherwise, you're going to be focused on what the whole of the universe of the Middle East, because that's really a universe of its own. Pretty wild stuff going on. But is God favoring His little nation? Is He going to take care of that little tiny country?
Yes,
what about the US of A? What is He going to do with us? Anybody get any heating oil lately? Yeah? Yeah? Last week, $3.38 a gallon.
Mm-hmm. Yes, my God,
$1,000. And it doesn't go very far, does it, sweetie? What am I saying? If we focus on these things, are we going to look as though we are prospering and doing well with God's presence in and around us? Or is it a season that we're being taken through for God's glory? Yes, it's a season of testing. It's a season that we need to be focused on the one who said, I'm with you. How many times did it say, and God was with Joseph?
Yes.
When you and I belong to the Most High God, the God that sent His Son to die on a cross to pay for our debt, that means we are highly favored of God. See, if I can get you to realize it's not your circumstances that make you blessed. It's who you belong to.
Amen?
Amen? Who I belong to makes me either of value or of no value. If I belong to the Most High, which I do, everything that's happened to me was for God's plan. Amen?
Amen.
He orchestrated to put me in different places. He orchestrated for me to connect. And I was talking with Claude, because Claude was actually brought up in the same town where I was born, same area. And we were comparing notes on multiples of levels. He was very, very, let's say, as a boy, had an incredible amount of hardships. Maybe that's the best word I can give. Because I don't want to open up a subject that's not mine to open. And we talked about his background, and we talked about the choices that God allowed him to make for him to go forward. And now that God is prospering him in different ways than people around him would, let's say, appreciate. But even when we spoke this morning, he said, you know, he says, I was sick for several days. He ended up with a cold and ended up not able to go out on Saturday to dinner because he was just, he says, I couldn't function. I said, so what did you do? He says, I stayed in the house and prayed and slept. There are times that you won't be able to do what others do. There are times that you're going to be involved in different things and you will have knowledge and the others around you may not. But that's your seed planting time. Trusting that God's Holy Spirit is with you. He is never going to leave you. He's your deposit. He is with you wherever you go, whatever time you go somewhere, wherever you land, whatever place, whatever nation, whatever country, whatever family that you're visiting, you are a blessing to them. It's not by accident that God chose you. You know, Sunday morning, one of our neighbors came over to visit for a few moments and was blessed when they entered the room. Only because of God's grace are we here? God's orchestration of using a dream from 1992, putting it on a cassette tape by our brother who's with Jesus, caused us to have this place. It was not an accident. It was a Holy Ghost manipulation. Those of you who have been called into this group, it's because we have something to give you and you have something to give to us. It is not an accident that you're here. What is God orchestrating? He's orchestrating a body of believers that functions as one unit. For His own purpose, not for your plan. His plan. You might have come into the body of Christ with a whole agenda of what you need and what you wanted and what you thought you were supposed to get. Yes?
Yes.
But as He orchestrates the next level, He takes you from maybe the slave's house into prison. And if you're in prison, rejoice. Because He's training you. He's giving you insight and discernment that you could never learn anywhere else. So may I suggest that you rejoice quickly in all the circumstances that you're in. Oh, but you say, oh my God, if you had any idea what I live through every day. Take a good look at Joseph. Was he treated fairly by Potiphar's wife? Was he an attractive young man? Yes, he was. Did he cause some ripples in this woman's brain? Yes. So what does God do when the bottom falls out? He goes with you. Because it's already pre-planned.
Mm-hmm. I think He catches us.
Huh?
I think He catches us when the bottom falls out.
Yes, He does catch us. But even if it doesn't, and He continues to follow into the downhill pattern,
yes,
like it did for this man, God didn't leave him.
No.
God stayed with him. God continued. Even the jail guy, you know, the head one, He gave him favor. Verse 21, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. It doesn't talk about the dreams there, but it does talk about God
giving him favor in the prison.
How many have just lost their appetite for complaining?
Yeah. What am I saying to you? I'm saying to you that God has a plan for your life. He's not ever going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He'll go with you in the prison if he needs to. If that's his plan, then just go to prison and stop worrying about it. Amen?
Amen.
Arthur Blessed. Okay? Went around the world with a cross because God told him, go and do it. Just do it. You know, it wasn't my commission. My commission was to move from Vermont, or rather from Canada to Vermont, from Vermont to Massachusetts, and complaining a good percentage of the way. And then, from Massachusetts, I can remember, this is not a lie, this is the absolute truth. 1985, I met Royal Cronquist from Washington State. The second time that I went there, my wife was with me, and this man started to prophesy that I was going to be going on planes, and I was going to be going to minister to different places, and I was going to be used of God to do this and to do that. And my wife said, and what about me? And he looked at my wife and he said, you're going to be home. And she said, oh. A few weeks later, we're at Grace Church of Christ and I'm doing some ministering up front. Pastor Gino comes up and he prophesies over my wife, and she's sitting way in the back where Mary is right now, and he said, I want you to know, Irene, that God is going to do something different with you than he is with Kim. But it's his plan that he's unfolding, so don't get upset if there's division between you for a season. Do you know Irene didn't know about the prophecy for years because it got erased from her brain? When we were separated, someone in the body of Christ let her hear the prophetic word over again. Last week, I was going through some stuff in my filing cabinet. I ran across a written prophetic word that came through Pastor Gino. Kim, I'm telling you up front, you're going to have the mind of Christ, and the mind of Christ is going to change your whole life. I read the words, and I said, woohoo, this is so cool, Lord. Thank you. 1992. It's dated. Why am I saying this to you? Because God was with me then, and he's with me now.